It was the drama series that kept viewers in an emotional grip for 8 weeks in 2013 and gave ITV a massive ratings boost. But after the identity of a child killer was revealed in the final episode, another surprise awaited viewers with the on-screen announcement, Broadchurch will return. And tonight it does, with David Tennant once again starring as Detective Inspector Alec Hardy alongside Olivia Colman as Detective Sergeant Ellie Miller in a new story set in the fictional Dorset clifftop town.
There was a boy, and he was killed. I caught the killer. So why am I still here?
And that trail is just about all we have in the way of clues as to what writer Chris Chibnall has in store for viewers. There have been no preview copies of Series 2 and no plot outline to be found in the publicity material. David Tennant, who also starred last year in the American remake of Broadchurch called Grace Point, came to Front Row this morning to discuss the series that he's not allowed to discuss. So we started with the success of Series 1. What pressure did it put on the making of a follow-up?
Well, it's massive, I think, particularly for Chris Chibnall, the writer, because, you know, he created this extraordinary world. And as you say, it just sort of took off. It became a part of the kind of national conversation, which is something you always hope for, I suppose, with any piece of work that you release out into the world. But you don't really expect it. And when something takes off to that extent, it's thrilling to be in the middle of it. But then, of course, the notion that you might have to follow it up. Can you do anything other than disappoint?
You of course, had some training for the idea of being at the midst of a TV phenomenon with Doctor Who.
Yes.
You knew what it was like to have your life changed in that
It's
way.
True. But, when I came into Doctor Who, I knew it was a phenomenon already. You know, it had 40-odd years of being part of the national conversation. Broadchurch, we all knew it was good. And certainly, as we made it, and we were receiving the scripts as we went, and none of the cast and the crew knew where it was going, we were experiencing the kind of fervour that then the nation seemed to experience, but you can't be sure that that's going to translate. So it was thrilling that it did. It was wonderful. And then great that we get to do it again. But for Chris, particularly, although he never showed this to me, but the pressure on him must have been huge. And certainly there's also the nervousness that it won't live up to expectation. But, I mean, I haven't seen the finished edit.
Well, I was going to say, have you not seen it yet?
No,
you'll be watching tonight then with
everybody
else.
I'll be watching tonight with everybody else, yeah. But I've read the script, and I think, against all the odds, I think he's managed to do it.
One of the biggest complaints from listeners against Front Row is that too often there are spoilers on the programme. We give too much away during the reviews and interviews.
Sure.
But in this case, I can't do anything about that because I haven't seen it,
which
is a very rare thing. We have been given no plot. We've been given no clue as to what happens, which makes this interview quite difficult.
Yes, it's very difficult. It's a difficult show to promote because there's very little you can say about it. It's on absolute lockdown. And I've been on shows, like you mentioned, Doctor Who. I've done non-disclosure agreements, are things you sign almost as a matter of course on TV and film dramas now. But this one was taken to new heights in terms of the absolute secrecy that has surrounded it and the things that we're not allowed to say. And I think that's part of the joy of it. That's what thrillers are about.
But what Chris Chibnall did really well with Broadchurch was it made not just a whodunit and
exactly.
a mystery, but it was about a community.
It's a character piece.
And what I'm presuming is that what we're now seeing is the after effect, the knock-on effect on the community.
Presume all you like. Presume away. I invite you to presume. But I think it's true to say that whilst it's not the same type of story, tonally it's very much the same show. One of the strengths of the first series, that is certainly true of the second series, is that an event like that happening in a village, a small town like that, is impossible to overestimate, I think, you know, that how much that would change the people who live there and their lives.
But we don't normally see that in a crime
exactly,
drama, do we?
Well,
normally
exactly
it finishes
that.
With the resolution or the crime being solved or some kind of punishment being meted out. But we don't see the emotional knock-on effects, the aftershocks.
Yeah, and I think that makes it all the truer and all the more involving. And that's certainly something that you'll see tonight and for the next 8 weeks.
So it's about the emotional aftershocks, primarily, this series.
Don't stop it! But there's certainly some emotional aftershocks. There was still a lot of crying on set.
And also that relationship that you forged with Olivia's character, Ellie Miller. So we have Alec Hardy and her at loggerheads a lot of the time. And that becoming so fractious to the point where it was almost unbearable. So I presume that tension is going to be developed or maybe resolved in some other way.
Well, the series begins... I can say this now, it's on tonight. The series begins exactly where the last one left off. Alec and Ellie are not in the same place. They've moved, you know, they've been shattered and literally sort of scattered by events of Series 1. So first of all, we have to find out if they're even going to meet again, frankly.
Well, we know that. We know they are, don't we?
You don't know that.
Do we not even know
it
that?
It could be a sort of sliding doors parallel life story.
What we also know is that Alec Hardy wasn't a well man. He's fragile, isn't he?
He is fragile.
And I presume he's suddenly not going to be super fit in the next...
No, heart conditions tend not to right themselves. Yeah. So it's fair to say that when we meet him, he's not in the best physical health. That's a spoiler I'm willing to give away.
He's an interesting character, I presume, for you to have played, because he's vulnerable and there's a sensitivity and a lot of the emotions are internalised. He's a lot slower as a character to many of the characters that you've played, particularly with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Or even on stage with Hamlet, and you know, one of the most manic Hamlets I think I've ever seen, the antic disposition played to the max. So do you have to, you are conscious of playing a character in a very, or tapping into a different kind of...
Yeah, there's a different pace to him. There has to be. He doesn't want that to be the case, but he's very much inhibited by his own physicality. And that's intriguing to play in it. And it can be quite frustrating to play sometimes, which of course is quite useful from the emotional state of the character.
Well, I wonder if it's frustrating because you're almost, not, I was going to say your default mode, but you are kind of an energised person, I presume, because we see that on screen so much, right from when you played Casanova many years ago.
No, I think that is probably true. I think it's a different tempo to work in, and that's good. That unlocks other things for you. You know, it makes you feel like a different person, and that's part of the joy of being an actor.
Let's go back to the first series then, because after the death of Danny Latimer, what Chris Chibnall did really cleverly was make us as viewers suspect all the time, oh, it's going to be that character, it's going to be that character. And I presume the actors not knowing whether they were the killer or not. Apart from Alec Hardy, I presume you never thought in the back of your mind, God, was it him?
It occurred to me that it might be.
Did
it
really?
Because it was, nobody had a clue, nobody was told. And until episode 8 arrived, it could have been any one of us. So it did occur to me that it's a possibility. And I never quite asked the question. I know some of the actors, Jodie Whittaker famously said, I don't want to know anything as long as I know it's not me. Because I think she felt to play a grieving mother, that would have been too much of a...
To have murdered your own child. To show that grief.
Too odd a thing to play unless she knew where she was going. But everyone else was kept in the dark. And playing the investigating officer, of course, that's fantastic. Because when you're doing any interrogation scene, you have no idea if the person in front of you is lying or not.
You were the only character, the only actor on the British production that went to Grace Point in the States.
Yeah.
Although he took on a different name.
Yes. Yes, he became Emmett Carver.
Yeah, but as Emmett Carver, was he a different character? Did you feel he was a different character? You embodied a different character.
Yes, he did. He became more different as well as the process went on, because you're defined so much in life and as an actor by what you're experiencing and by the way people are reacting around you. So even there were moments in Grace Point where the script was almost identical. There were certain scenes that were the same scene, but when you're playing it with different people and possibly in a different... accent in a different part of the world, things are different enough that you feel like a very different person.
Clues in the name as well, isn't it, Carver? There's more of a noirish quality to Grace Point than Broadchurch, which was Hardy-esque.
That's interesting. Yes, that may well be true. I hadn't thought of that, and I don't know if that...
Is that not a Chris Chibnall joke?
No, he gave the Americanizing of the names over to the American showrunners.
I presume that was one of his little...
Well, I think Emmett Carver came from them, but I'm sure that they knew exactly what they were doing.
David Tennant, who stars in Broadchurch, Series 2, beginning tonight on ITV at 9 o'clock.